This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, so it was supposed to usher in a new era of watching NFL games. But if you had it, it just felt like another broadcast entity doing the game. But nevertheless, it still was a game in the National Football League that was very important, even if it's week number two. The Kansas City Chiefs hosting the LA Chargers, and it was the Chiefs who pulled out a victory. But how they pulled out the victory is what we're going to dissect. And where are these two teams as they head into week number three next week and further down the line? And what do we see from both of these teams? Now, don't get me wrong. It's early, and there's not a lot of definitive statements here. There's a lot of people that like to make these grandiose comments, but the NFL is such a tricky sport in that regard because things that look good in week two don't look good in week seven, and then they look great again back in week 15. And in the end, what really matters is how you get to a postseason, and then what do you do from there? But that doesn't mean we're not seeing something in this game that sort of can give you an indication of where these two teams really are. I think Kansas City is in the last 2 weeks has shown something offensively that is promising in a way because Tyreek Hill isn't there anymore. And Patrick Mahomes is spreading the ball around. But there's a concern from last night's game that on third and short, they're not converting. And they didn't convert very well on third and short. It's one of the main reasons they went for the field goal on fourth and one. And for the Chargers, their time is coming. Right? You not only saw it with the way they played, but you saw it in the grit that Justin Herbert had, for lack of a better term, where he was clearly hurt and clearly injured and didn't run for a first down and threw the ball away. And yet the very next play throws a brilliant pass down to the field to get, you know, that set up the touchdown that allowed them to go for the onside kick. This AFC West, we've been saying it all off season, is going to be really fun. And the Broncos and the Raiders are going to be part of this mix too. We're going to dissect this game a bit. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and what their problems were and some of the things that were fantastic. We're going to do the same thing with the Chargers because this might be one of those games where one team just had to win, but we have statements to make that aren't really anything different than what we thought about these teams at the beginning of the season. We'll continue next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Good Friday to you as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. All right, so last night, people say in a regular season game in the National Football League, well, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and somebody, there's always that one person that goes, well, they could tie. Let's throw that out of the equation for a second. In this particular game, there was a winner and there was a loser. Now, a lot of times when you take a winner, you go, all right, these are the things that they did right, and they may need this or this, or they escaped this or this that was plaguing them in the game. And then with the losers, we go, well, what went wrong? What happened? How do they get better? What does this loss mean? Where does it put them? And this is one of those games where both teams had issues at certain times, of course, because that's the way football is. But, man, I feel like outside of the injury to Justin Herbert, which we'll find out more, Brandon Staley said after the game he was okay, but we'll find out more, I think both of these teams are fantastic. They're fantastic. Patrick Mahomes, in 2 weeks, has really learned how to play without Tyreek Hill. He threw the ball to a number of receivers last night, a number of them. There was like 8 or 9 of them. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling was targeted 7 times. Travis Kelce was targeted 7 times, right? He hit Justin Watson with that beautiful touchdown pass. So, Patrick Mahomes is learning how to not have one of the more dynamic, threatening receivers in the game. And Keenan Allen didn't play for the Chargers last night, and Mike Williams stepped up and had 113 yards receiving. I mean, the AFC West, as I said at the top of the hour, we knew that this was going to be a great division. that there was going to be games like this, right? Where the Chargers are now 1-1 in the division, beating the Raiders last week, and while the Chiefs are 2-0 with a different conference victory when they beat Arizona, I think there's so much to dissect here. But before I dissect anything, I have to get Ron Culver's opinion on this game, because I was thinking of you the whole time at the end. The whole time. With the Justin Herbert injury and the 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. And just feeling like that one was in the grasp and it got away from him.
Yeah. Here's the quick synopsis. I'm not looking at this as a loss. I 100% agree with you. There has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. But I saw a lot of things come away that looked very, very promising. And that's how I'm going to view this game. I know it's a loss, but I'm going to view this game as there were some moments of absolute brilliance. Isn't even the word I can use, but it's the only word I can think of right now. Justin Herbert is by far, if you don't have him in your top five, even maybe your top three, you're doing something wrong. Because
No doubt.
Before the injury, some of the throws that he was making were incredible. Now, that 99-yard interception return, that wasn't his fault.
Yeah, they were trying to get Everett off the field, or he wanted off the field.
Everett wanted off the field. Right? They were trying to rush and get a play going to kind of catch Kansas City off their... off guard a little bit. And Everett just did not have any gas in the tank at all.
None.
I mean, when that ball was thrown, he could barely make a cut back over. And then, guy had 99 yards. He had a clear lane. He's going to take it. I mean, the only person that could really tackle him was Justin Herbert. And you knew that wasn't going to happen. Quarterbacks don't make tackles.
I said it at the top of the hour. He's running... And he sees defenders coming, but there's a first down marker. He gives it up. He throws
the
ball
play?
Away.
Oh, my God.
And then you're like, he's dead. He's dead. Get him out of the game. What are you doing? He's getting killed out there. And then he throws that dart.
Beautiful pass. That ball was probably one of the most prettiest passes I think I've ever seen in the NFL. And I'm not trying
fantastic.
To be biased either. I'm really not trying to be biased. But given the circumstances of, he could have, I think it was Al Michaels was saying, or Kirk Herbstreit was saying last night, he could have walked. To the first down marker.
Exactly.
And he threw it away, and that was the ugliest throwaway ever. You could just see that it was almost as he had that look like, I'm just giving up. I can't do this. This guy is invisible pain, and it's killing me, and I'm worried because, our backup's Chase Daniel, which I guess is good.
By the way, thanks for letting me know Chase Daniel was still at National Football League. Yeah. Pointing that out, I was like, there he is. That's Chase Daniel is the perfect example of a guy that just can keep getting work.
Knows his role.
Like, what, seven teams he's been on in his career?
13 years. I didn't realize it was 13 years.
13 years.
They said 13-year career. I immediately looked it up. I was like, that can't be right.
That's amazing. Amazing. So, yeah, thanks to them for reminding me that Chase Daniel was on the team.
Yeah. But, that was... To see that and then have him drop back and you're like, oh, God. It's like, well, he's only going to go for a yard, so maybe it'll be okay. Because before that, even when that drive started after the 99-yard touchdown run, and you could see that he's hurt. Or no, it was after they got the ball back. And you could see that he's hurt. He just kept doing these short dumps to Austin Ekeler.
Yep.
Which were effective. I was all for it. But, it was, it was just like he can't throw the ball downfield. And then he threw that one wobbly-looking pass that was almost picked. And I was getting really fearful. It was like, okay, he has nothing left. He can't do it. And then, that dart he threw and then followed that up with the touchdown pass was remarkable. For me, it's like I feel comfortable knowing, all right, we're going to be in the playoffs year after year after year.
The thing, I've seen this many, many times, right, where there is a team in the division – You remember how I was really hard on the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins for 20 years of nobody really giving the Patriots a challenge?
Yeah.
And, I know that, the Dolphins won it 1 year and the Jets beat them in the playoffs. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a 1 year, the moons light up. What I'm talking about is saying as an organization, we are building the team to beat them. We may not, you know, they have the greatest quarterback and all that, but we are putting together a team. And I have seen teams throughout this league and all the time that have had a Goliath to slay, and then they build the team up, and then they have a game like this where there's something like a late touchdown, and you feel like they're not quite there. I don't feel that way about the Chargers. I don't feel like this is a team that is built to be competitive in this division, but this is one dragon they can't slay. This was a winnable game where you're right. It wasn't his fault on the pass. They couldn't get Everett out of the game. It's a 99-yard touchdown that sort of seals it for them. But the reality of it is the Chargers are right there. They're right there. They're not two steps back and then tried to take one step closer. They're right there. They can beat this team in any other week. If they played next week, I could tell you if Justin Herbert's healthy, they've just as good a chance of beating this team. Yeah, that's why I was hard on those other three teams, because I never felt at any moment that they were building anything to be close to what New England was doing. Give the Chargers, and in a lot of cases the Raiders too, some credit for chasing the Chiefs and getting to a point where they're almost there.
Oh, it's not going to be an easy ride for the Chiefs. I think every single AFC West game, although I haven't really seen anything spectacular out of the Broncos yet.
Not yet. But that's why I left them out of the equation, because I have zero idea.
Yeah,
yet.
But the AFC West, and this is my only fear about it, is that these three teams are just going to beat each other up. I mean, you're talking six different games, or I guess, no, what, four different games. No, six different games that are going to be these drag-out boxing matches where we used to use that old cliche when rivals play against each other. It's like, throw out the records. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And that literally is going to be these three teams.
And I got to think, if you're anybody within the Kansas City Chiefs organization, the wave is coming, right? That this is not going to be an easy division to win, where in the past, as these teams were building and coming together and struggling with their own issues, it was. And now it's not anymore. And, I mean, last night, again, play the same game next week. I wouldn't be surprised if the score was reversed at all. And again, I bring this up because I've seen this time and time again where you're missing it, right? Like whatever they have, you don't have. But that I don't feel that way. Patrick Mahomes is slinging it all over the place to all these different receivers, and he's effective, right? The sidearm pass with a touchdown. He does all of these Patrick Mahomes things. But the Chargers have a quarterback that you just said absolutely correct. If he is not in the top three, I don't know who is. He is that good. I mean, he is not just a good quarterback in this league. He is one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to even before that injury. I mean, because, you know, that pass, I mean, I still can't. You know, I fell asleep happy last night thinking about that pass.
Right, sure.
But even the touchdown to Mike Williams, he put it in the only area where
That's
Mike
right.
Williams can get it. You know,
That's
I mean,
right.
it's time and time again. He's threading, he's putting this, he's taking those chances. I'm trying to remember, it was like, kind of like a Brett Favre-esque thing where throwing it through these tight windows. I mean, I would hate to go up against them in like an aiming competition where you have to fit it through different size tires and stuff, because I feel like he's going to win every single time.
It's so great. Like if you could inject truth serum into coaches when they lose quarterbacks like this, because most of them go, I we'll be all right. When the real answer is, we're screwed.
Yeah.
We're screwed. That's it. We're not going to be winning games, guys. That's it. These guys are so good. And that is, they're perfect examples of, if you don't get this position perfect, you're not going to be winning games. You're not going to be winning in this league.
No.
You've got to land this. And there are teams, you know, we say it all the time in a league of 32 teams, there's probably 15 maybe really solid, can't live without them quarterbacks, if that, right? I'm being generous. And if you have one of the top three or four or five, you are way ahead of half the teams in the league.
And the other thing, too.
By having this individual that can have his ribs torn to pieces and then throw a dart downfield to set up a touchdown.
And the other thing these quarterbacks are doing, Mahomes, Herbert, you know, I'll throw Allen in there, maybe even Burrow. I'm ready to move on from Brady and Rodgers.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I could care less about them now. They, to me, are, I mean, they're top 10 quarterbacks, obviously. You know, I mean, they're first ballot Hall of Famers, no question about it. But I'm ready to move on from them. I was like, I want this generation. I want to see what these – I can't wait for 10 years from now for us to be talking about these quarterbacks that are playing right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like what trophies do they have in their mantle? Are they, you know, are these especially those four, are they competing year after year for the NFL MVP, you know, the offensive player of the year? Are they competing for Super Bowl trophies? AFC, I mean, it's just, it is absolutely astonishing when you see what these four quarterbacks are doing and just going, God, these are can't miss guys.
So we'll talk about some more of this game from that standpoint, but I also want to get into some defense last night, especially on the Chargers side, because they really did do some really good things against this Kansas City offense. We'll talk about that, and also, of course, we're getting into Week 2 as we head into Sunday, as well as college football, including one coach that does he really, really need to win this weekend, not from a firing standpoint, but from a real hot seat standpoint. We've got all that coming up as the hour continues. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We want to get your thoughts in on the game last night. Let's before we get back to the game, Amazon Prime, what grade are we giving them for this first broadcast?
Like B?
B?
I'm 100% with you. I didn't notice anything extraordinary or spectacular from the broadcast. It looked like... I mean, there were times where I'm watching it. I didn't realize I'm watching it on Amazon Prime, except
there wasn't
for the
anything
thousand
special.
Amazon Prime commercials.
Now, I watched it on TV. I didn't watch it on the laptop, but apparently
on
the
TV.
Laptop, there's you can get like an all 22 view of the game. There was like next gen stats. There was something like all the players were wearing chips so that you could get those kind of numbers if you're kind of geeking out on it. But I didn't know that. I watched it just straight up on the TV.
So and, you know, and I think that's going to be
the other angles.
I think that's going to be part of the problem because you and I are part of a generation where if we can get it on our TV, we're watching it on our TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not watching it on my phone. I'm not watching it on an iPad or tablet or, you know, a computer. I'm not doing that.
Now, have you ever watched a baseball game, like maybe a playoff game or something where you watch it on TV, but then you have like, the game cast where the pitches are shown and like little information like that.
Sometimes I'll look at it on my phone, but it's not, I'm not doing a whole game worth that. I'm like, it's a minute or two.
Yeah. Cause like when Formula One races are on, I have Formula One TV, which is, you know, their subscription service, but I watch it on ESPN, but then there's like, I can see like lap times and I can see when each driver is pitted and what tires they're taking, and there's a tracker that gives you the whole track and it shows what each person is. And those are always cool elements, but I'm not watching it on my laptop. I'm watching it on TV, right? Those are just added bonuses. So if they made that more known that you could do this, like, hey, have your laptop beside you and you can do next gen stats, because apparently people like those numbers. They like, I don't know. They like the speed and they like the distance and like the angles and all that stuff. There's a lot of football, football analytics out there that people like. So there's an element to it, but I just went boom. Where's the, you know, here's the game. And it didn't look any different than any other, because you know why? Here's the thing. People are trying to, I don't know, the people are trying to scramble the same egg, right? In different ways. Like there's only really, all right, you want to do an extra sky cam, that's great. But in the end, haven't we sort of figured out the best way a game looks on TV with television angles? Like they've done it a million different ways and they've gone, this is the best way to watch it. This is the best this is where you should put all your cameras, no matter what network you're at.
You do the overhead camera so you can see how everyone's lined up on the field. You can see everything. And we're used to it now. We know. We can even tell certain plays are happening or, you know, penalties that might happen. And then every once in a while, throw me that, the camera that's from the field level.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
every once in a while, I kind of like that. It's like, ah, you know, this is what it looks like. These guys are huge.
Well, the Skycam, yeah, the Skycam ones are really cool because, like, that interception that was returned, they had a nice overhead angle to show Everett couldn't go get the ball.
But is it any difference in the Skycams that we've had?
No, not at all. So, and it was cool to be reminded over and over again that you got to have Amazon Prime in order to watch a game you're watching on Amazon Prime. That was awesome.
I will say this, though, that that new show on Amazon that's coming out, I guess is from, like, the creators of Westworld.
Oh, yeah, that one where she puts the thing on her head and goes into a reality.
You know what? I might give that a throw.
I might be interested in that, yeah.
That one looked interesting.
So if that was worth a $1 billion this year,
I know.
Good for you.
I mean, I only saw that ad a handful of times, really. You know,
yeah,
right?
I know, right? That's it.
What was it? That's like it. During the break, she said, yeah, it's like, it's all that Lord of the Rings TV show, whatever it is, you know.
I think it was
every single break.
Ring of Power or whatever it was. It was all the time. Somebody wrote an article about the broadcast, and I was reading it this morning, and they said, I was surprised to see commercials for, you know, regular commercials. Like,
true.
It was like, I totally get you want to pitch us the shows you have and Amazon services, total. But when you see, like, the Mercedes C-Class commercial, it was like, it was a little surprising to see that. Of course, if you can recoup the money, make the money, you know, that's fine.
And the truth is, what are they going to do?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just going to be a blank screen. You know, just, you know, more Amazon.
They're not going to tell the teams you can't. Yeah. You know, you can't pause for, you know, whatever way you pause a game, right?
Yeah, it's like, hey, guys, we're only going to show one Amazon Prime commercial, so you guys are going to be back in 60 seconds. You ready?
That's right, yeah.
No, it's still the same. You got to have the same rhythm and flow. So for Amazon, I mean, this is a brilliant thing because not only are you paying to watch it, then you're getting paid by these advertisers for us watching it.
So last night, if you didn't watch the game and you woke up and you kind of looked through the box score, right? So I just called it up right now, and you would see, like, Patrick Mahomes 24 of 35 for 235 yards and 2 touchdowns, and you'd go, all right, that's a pretty good game. That's a pretty good game. But, boy, that Charger defense made him very uncomfortable at the beginning of the game. He was really, like, You got to keep them in the pocket. That's the thing. And the Chargers did a good job of that.
They really did.
They really did. And they the Chargers struggled on third and short. They were like 1 for 6 on third and less than 4 and in. So that's one of the reasons they kicked a field goal when it was 4th and 1 because Andy Reid felt like, no, the Chargers were doing a very good job of containing us when we in short yardage situations. That was a very, very plus sign. But I want to get to one thing I saw. Very rarely have I ever seen something I've never seen before, or my brain is acting as if he's never seen it before, and maybe I did see it and just didn't remember it. But Derwin James body slamming Travis Kelce was the most incredible thing I've ever seen from a defensive performance. And I can't remember ever seeing that before, where a defensive player, through momentum, picks up a player and then body slams him. I hate
so hard.
This.
No, but body slammed him so hard that ball.
That ball
flew.
Popped, yeah, exactly.
But no, the ball, it didn't just, like, trickle out of his hand.
No, it flew out, right.
Up into the air, and I think it was Asante Samuel who might have caught it.
Because it was in the end zone, wasn't it? Didn't it go towards the end zone?
It was like an interception all of a sudden.
And I immediately went, that has to be a flag, right? That has to be something. And of course it wasn't. It was
You know why? Because the ref sat there and went, like, did we just see that?
Yeah, I was the same way. I'm sure
one of them looked over.
I was very glad that Al Michaels was talking, because they started doing the wrestling thing, and, like, you know, I was blown away. Travis Kelce's a big dude, man.
He's a huge man.
Big dude. And Derwin James, that was quite a takedown.
And I just want to thank all of you on the social media, just putting that to the wrestling sounds.
Of course.
Thank you for doing that, because every single one is priceless.
Very good. It's Wake Up Call. It's Sports Map Radio.
Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, spending some time this morning going over the Chargers and the Chiefs. Kansas City winning 27-24. The Amazon broadcast last night. Again, it was a game that, as we've been saying all morning, that I think, again, outside of this, the possibility of a tie, you know, you have a winner and a loser here, but I think both teams are really in good shape, except for the I'm concerned about the Chargers with Justin Herbert. We'll see. But they're playing Jacksonville as the
broadcasters. It's going to be positive, man. It's going to be positive.
Yeah. They said he was okay, and he did have x-rays right after the game, so maybe Brandon Staley just didn't say because he said okay. Maybe he knows something.
I do have one serious gripe, though.
Yeah?
And I'm gonna put this on the Chiefs because I think they were doing it on purpose. But after the game, everyone came up to Justin Herbert to congratulate him, and everyone's hitting him on the chest.
Yeah, I know. Be careful.
Like, can you stop? This guy just wants to get off the field. Probably wants to get some painkillers running through his body. Maybe get an x-ray, figure out what's going on. Like, why does this hurt so bad? Like, and I think it was one of the coaches must have hit his chest area, hit that area like four or five times. I mean, you could tell he had nothing but nice things to say to him. And just saying, God, you know, that was a rock solid performance, grit, gutsy, la 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 la. But every single time he's saying something, he's pounding him on the chest like, hey, stop.
Yeah, I mean, if he has a busted rib, don't be the one that kind of jumps in and adds to it.
It's like all of a sudden I just thought to myself, did the Chiefs huddle real quick?
Yeah.
And go, hey, we got to make sure he's out for longer.
And, you know, I said this yesterday when talking about these quarterbacks. And I go back to what the Steelers are dealing with right now, right? And this goes for any team, you know, whether it's a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance or Justin Fields. You can add all of those into the mix. There are known entities in this league that you can hope has a rebirth of and become something that they haven't been. Or you can hope that the shiny new package under the Christmas tree is indeed the Atari 2600 you wanted. See, there's my age right there, right?
There it is.
Yeah, you know, exactly. The Steelers look at Mitch Trubisky, and what do they see, right? I know as a fan, and I've seen it number two, right? Maybe a good quarterback, maybe can do some things. But in the end, are the Steelers going to be the team that Mitch Trubisky changes into something he hasn't been since he's gotten into this league? You can argue that him
or
and Matt Nagy never worked
him.
Out. Or the Steelers are going to change him. You can argue, you know, the Bears didn't set him up for success. Okay, all right, I'll concede that a little bit. And in Buffalo, he was not going to supplant Josh Allen, no. So a backup role is where he was. Okay, I can buy that. But the reality of it is, if you have a guy that is holding the place for the young quarterback, this is the reason why fan bases want young quarterbacks to get in the game. Because if you open the package and it's a Justin Herbert, or it's a Joe Burrow, or it's a Josh Allen, or it's a Patrick Mahomes, this is what's setting you up for the next decade, right? Now, of course, you can open it up and it can be a complete bust. Of course, we've seen that many, many times, right? It could be a Blake Bortles, who was drafted third overall, and I don't even know where he is right now. It could be a Marcus Mariota, who's unfortunately in a rebuilding situation. It could be a Jared Goff, who's in the same place. Of course you run that risk. But it's the gamble that I think people want. I think it's the gamble that people are excited about. It's the idea of, you just gave me a journeyman quarterback that has bounced around this league a little bit and has never been exciting, has never been awesome, has never been a game changer. Or if I open the box, could I get Justin Herbert, who can throw after getting slammed to the ground with a rib injury and fire a dart down the field? Can I get a Patrick Mahomes who's changing the game the way it is now?
I mean, and that's why I think Anthony Lynn had gotten fired. Because remember, he had Justin Herbert, but he decided to go with Tyrod Taylor, and it was a good sense of a doctor to puncture his lung with a needle. So, you know, it's like, yeah, Anthony, I'm going to save your job.
Well, and that's kind of the hope. It's not the hope that Mitch Trubisky gets a punctured lung,
right?
But it feels like when you have a young quarterback that's destined for this, there's just a way they get the job, right? There's just a way they end up there in the first place. I mean, the Patrick Mahomes story to me is fascinating, and I don't think people really think about how Patrick Mahomes came into this league. Because there was a number of factors that came in, but one was the ability of the Kansas City brass, including Andy Reid, to see something there that a lot of teams didn't see. Now, there was reports that there were other teams interested in Patrick Mahomes that were trying to move up to get him, but the Chiefs were able to move up to get him. But remember, they had Alex Smith, and they were making the playoffs, right? They were making the playoffs. And they decided to go in the second year of Mahomes, that they gave him the job after a playoff appearance by the Chiefs, led by Alex Smith. They were willing to take a chance to say, we think we're going to be in great hands with this kid. We think this kid is going to be better at getting us to the Super Bowl and winning a Super Bowl than a guy that's consistently putting us in the playoffs. Half the battle of winning the Super Bowl is just getting to the playoffs in the first place.
Listen, we're seeing it right now with the Niners.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback, and he will be a starter on a number of teams in the NFL. But the Niners knows, like, all right, you know, we see something in this Trey Lance kid. We got to give it a shot. And it could crash and burn this year.
And that's why Bears fans were upset about Andy Dalton and QB1
right.
A year ago, right? Where they were like, why are we bothering? You know you're going to give the kid the job. Why not today? Now, there are arguments for and against, and we've heard them a million times. But that's where this league is and has been for forever. This is the position. And when you land it, almost the entirety of your stress about how you view the season, half of it's gone because you know the quarterback position is so solid that you're going to be in the conversation. And now, again, Dan Marino went to one Super Bowl and never went back, right? John Elway didn't win a Super Bowl until late in his career, and the first one he did win, he was a double-digit underdog. So it's not always guaranteed that these things land in the kind of the success that you want. Patrick Mahomes may win one Super Bowl. I would have bet my house and everything I owned that Aaron Rodgers at this point would at least have two. Right? He has one. That's how difficult it is. But the reality of it is, this is why there's this undercurrent of when you get a veteran that's kind of hanging on to the job, but the inevitability is that you're going to give it to this young person, and you hope that what you saw last night with two young guys that are going to now be they're going to do this, barring catastrophic injury, these two are going to battle it out twice mm-hmm. a year now for the next decade. It's going to be great.
Yes, we're spoiled now.
And again, not to beat a dead horse, but that's why I was so ticked off at those three teams in the AFC East. It's not to get a Brady. You're not going to get another Tom Brady, but you can get a Pro Bowl quarterback. You can get a quarterback that is a franchise quarterback to make those games interesting, to make the division interesting.
It's just, I mean, it was just poor drafting.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the AFC North. I know the Browns
sure.
are kind of like, I mean, it seems weird to say the Browns are rebuilding, but they're kind of in like that limbo area right now. But they went out and got Deshaun Watson. And, you know, aside from the scandal, I mean, he's an incredible player.
You're right. If you take the scandal out of this, it's
I mean, that's
hard
a that's
do,
a home run. You,
it's a
for
land,
him.
Absolutely.
And it sets up. You know, you look at that AFC North and say, you know, let's look towards next season, right? The dust is settled and everything. We're just into football now. This is an incredible division of quarterbacks as well. And, yep. and I'm going to assume Lamar Jackson is staying with the Ravens. But, I mean, you have Lamar, you'll have Deshaun, you'll have Burrow, and, you know, then we'll see what the Steelers have. I mean, you know, if Kenny Pickett is everything that he was in college, you got another four quarterbacks. And, I mean, I don't see the NFC winning anything anytime soon.
I know. You're right. And what is the NFC giving us? Guys in their 30s and guys
yeah.
that are ready to, you know, late 30s, 45-year-old quarterback, 33. I think Matt Stafford's, what, 33? 32, 33? Rodgers is 38. Right?
Brady
Dak Prescott is hurt.
Brady is 50.
Yeah. Right, right. That's what the NFC is giving you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kyler Murray hasn't emerged yet, right?
There's Fields.
Justin Fields hasn't come again.
I'm blanking on the guy in, for the Eagles right now.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, they're not on the same level as Burrow, Herbert, Carson Allen.
Wentz,
right?
Carson Wentz was there, but he's not.
Nope.
You know, look at the other two where, I mean, maybe the Panthers get something out of Baker now. But you know, then you look at Atlanta, it's like, you know, they got Mariota and Winston. These were two promising quarterbacks that just didn't pan out.
They were the top two picks in the 2015 draft. They were supposed to change their franchises. And both of them are on, and here we are a handful of years later, and they're on other teams.
And those
Mariotti's on his third.
Yeah, those two, they are, what, a snap or two away from being Chase Daniel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And look, the Falcons can say all the right things, but Mariota is holding that until they find their quarterback of the future, right? And so kudos to, again, some of these teams in the AFC that have found their guy. And some of it is we read everything, we've evaluated everything, and it just worked out. Some of it is we thought it would work out and it didn't work out, but they landed these megastars. I mean, I love what you said. If Justin Herbert's not in the top three, who is? I mean, he's fun to watch. He slings the ball great. He's accurate. He throws a fast pass, right? It's a laser beam, and the guts that he showed last night.
That's what elevated him for me. You know, I know there's a lot of people that have, like, you know, the elite class, then tier one, tier two. You know, and you go down the list. What he showed last night, just playing through that injury, and you could tell that it was hurting.
Sure.
I mean, just that one play, you can't get out of your mind where, I mean, he had the first down easily. I mean, this is a third and short situation. You're setting up fourth down in the fourth quarter. I mean, you need to get a first down. And he just throws that ball away, and it was the ugliest throwaway ever.
And
because you could tell how much pain he was in.
I'm looking at their schedule right now, and there's a good stretch here.
Yeah.
Where they're playing Jacksonville, Houston, the Browns with Brissett. Their Broncos game will be absolutely fascinating. The Seahawks, Falcons, 49ers will be interesting. But there's a potential here to be like 6-2. You know, like a good 8-game stretch. This is going to be such a good division, and it's just
it really is.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Again, we'll get to week two matchups coming up, and then I am going to, in the next hour, we'll get into one particular coach. I'm not going to give it away, but I want a particular coach that I'm really, really fascinated what it's going to be like coming up on Saturday night. That's all coming up as we continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, coming up, we got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, of course. Jalen Watson was the seventh-round pick that returned the interception 99 yards for a touchdown. And, you know, I get it. It was, for you, Ron, it was, you know, hey, painful moment in the game. But, hey, that's like for a seventh. Imagine being a seventh-round pick. It's like you're on the borderline. It's like they could do – maybe they can live without you. And then you step up and you make the play of the game. God bless the kid.
I can only imagine what was going through his head as soon as he caught that ball and saw that there was a – he saw the line that he needs to take to get all the way across to the other side of the field. What could have been going through his mind?
No
like,
doubt.
Oh, my God. You know, because he's a rookie.
Closer and closer. The arrowhead's going nuts.
Yeah.
And you're about to score the go-ahead touchdown, right?
Yeah, you're sealing the victory right now. And,
you know, putting him in a position. So, yeah. It's not just Justin Herbert they should be concerned about. There were some injuries on the offensive line that really hurt the Chargers. Corey Lindsey was hurt. Trey Pipkins was hurt. And their subs didn't really do a good job because you could feel the pressure coming in the second half on Herbert. He was really rushed. So you're right, 10 days, and then we'll see what those injuries are. But I never like a team when they lose their center. I think a center injury is really tough because you do work with both, you know, with everybody, but you really develop a special relationship with your center.
And then the issue that you're going to run into right now, Herbert probably is going to take, if you know, depending on how bad the severe this injury is, even if it's not severe, he's probably not going to practice until midweek next week.
Right, exactly.
He's going to be taking a couple days off where, you know, you're going to miss that opportunity of center and quarterback just getting used to each other.
Yeah, so he took some hits in the second half, and that's obviously led to the, you know, the injury that he suffered late that was very visible. But that's a real concern down the road for this team. So yes, I want to be glowingly about both of these teams for the game they played last night. But both of these teams are going to have some issues that they are going to be. You know, Patrick Mahomes did say it was an ugly win, but it's a win. Yeah, it was ugly at times. I mean, I think defensively both teams.
Their first half was terrible.
Their first half was terrible. I mean, terrible. I mean, that was the thing about the game was when the Chargers went up 10-0, it was like the Chiefs found they were at it, uncomfortableness is the best way I can describe it. There was just, you know, there was a rush coming. He was contained in the pocket. They were kind of getting to him. They was disrupting the plays. And I will say the consistency of the Chargers throughout the game to not let the Chiefs do things big and do things grand, you know, like, again, really containing them. I mean, the fact is, if you have Patrick Mahomes, and again, you don't need a Tyreek Hill either, and you have Travis Kelce, and you have Juju Smith-Schuster, and you have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and you're kicking a field goal on 4th-and-1, it is because you are recognizing that something is not right with your short yardage situations, that the other team has dialed it in and it has your number. And that's what happened. I mean, again, they were like 1-for-6 in 3rd-and-short. So on 4th-and-1, yeah, you go get the points. And you get the points in a tight game. I know, like, analytics say go for it and all that stuff, and I'm very much for taking shots and gambles. But the game wasn't really being – the game was being dictated by get the points when you can and let's see what happens here. And the fact is that there was a lot of confidence on the other side of the ball that anything – 4th-and-short, 3rd-and-short, that they were going to be able to make a play. So despite the weapons that Kansas City had, give the Chargers defense a lot of credit for being up to the challenge for not having the Chiefs constantly move the sticks all night long. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us again on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, Ron with two N's.